www.diberadio.org.
Hello, my name is Anton Beke. You are listening to Type Radio. Now we are talking.
Okay, now we're talking.
Did you do the intro?
No.
What day is today? It's Tuesday.
1st of August.
1st of August. Yeah.
Amsterdam.
Kunnen we?
Yeah.
Hello, this is Type Radio. It's August 1st, 2006. We're at Anton Beke Studio in Amsterdam. And with us is Anton Beke. Welcome. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
And the first question is...
Are you religious?
Not at all. In what sense? Religious in my profession or in spirits? What do you mean?
Either
Catholic,
or. Well,
Protestant?
In your profession.
In my profession, sure. Of course, I'm religious, but not outside my profession.
Do you have rituals?
No, not really. I eat every morning my yogurt, take my bike to the studio, but no, I have no ritual. That kind of things.
But is it not so that you do have rituals, but you tend to ignore them because you...
No, I have no rituals.
Okay.
No. What kind of...
For example, you would miss coming into your studio.
Yeah.
That is a... Would you not consider that as a ritual then? Something...
No, there's not a special time. Sometimes I'm very early, sometimes I'm 10:30. There's not something... I say hello to the... To the people, good morning, and then they know that I'm here, and then I open my computer, and but you have to do that. So that is normal life, you could say, in my opinion.
And you're not superstitious, for example?
No, also not, no. I'm a very bored person for your program. No.
Have you lived up to your parents' expectations?
My father died when I was 20. They had not a very good relation, so I haven't known very well. And my mother died when she was 90. But when I was 16, I left. I was leaving the house, and so there's not a special relationship with my parents. Because my mother was a very nice person, and she cooks very nice, but that's what it is, you could say.
But did she know what you were doing?
No, she knows that because sometimes I was on television and on radio and in the newspaper, and that's what she knows. But what I really did, she don't know.
She doesn't understand.
She didn't understand.
No. But for example, would you take her to the White House? Or say, look,
well,
mother.
When I get the in Amsterdam, we have the, or in Holland, we have an award for the whole Earth. That's the, what's the name? It's the man from Groningen.
Werkman.
Werkman Award. the Workman Award. And so that is prestigious, you could say, sort of prestigious award. And then I took my mother. And in the award there was a drum group, Slagerij van Kampen is the name, it's big drums. And my mother, I took my mother, and she was in her morning coat, you know. But she was all very old, and she smoked the whole day. And she fell asleep, and always the cigarette was falling in on her morning coat. So it was burned, all big holes in her coat. And I said, Mom, you have to come with me because I get an award. Award? What is an award? I have no time. But she go and in her, on her pantoffels and her morning coat.
Yeah.
All these people dressed up. The Lord Major, everybody. She was sitting there. What is this for a ghost? It was my mother. And she didn't understand so much what happens. But she was very proud of me when she was sitting next to me. And it's my son. This is my son. And then the drum the people of Slagerij van Kampen start playing, and she was standing there, go on, go on, go, go, go on, in the 90s, it's not bad, but that's, she don't know what I did, no. Something with drawing.
Okay.
But as of a very early age on, you were sort of meant to be a designer?
Well, yeah, I was, when I was, I grew up in the Second World War, and after the Second World War, my parents were poor people, poor, yeah. My father was not very much at home, he was working somewhere in the country, he was a plaster. And so I grew up with my mother and my step sister. My father had a family before, and I'm the only son of my mother, her wonder. And she was 40 when she got me. And so in the after the war, I was playing football. Everybody was playing football, and I was drawing and figuurzagen. I don't know the, you know, yeah, with a little saw in the wood to make
figures, yeah. Yeah,
all kind of things. Yeah. And so I thought, and there was a boy in the street with a very nice bike, and he was on the Kunstnijverheidsschool, an art school, and he made very nice drawings of airplanes, watercolor, and I imitated. Sometimes he gives something to me, a drawing, and then I try to copy it.
Do you still know him?
No, he went to the United States, and what I know is that he became a sculptor, but yeah. I was looking in books and so on, but he's not Kerkhoff. His name is Kerkhoff, but I never mentioned his name in a book somewhere. But so then I thought, then you have a nice bike, and you can make money out of it, because he did it also.
Yeah, yeah.
He made money from it.
No, but I thought when he's studying that, he's not dumb, so then maybe I can do that also. Advertising illustrator or something like that. So that's what I would like to be. But when I was 14 years old, my father was already 68, 69, very old. And he was a plaster working in and that he wanted me to learn a profession, because I was a small boy. My mother was not able to do anything, and he was old. In that time you were old. Still, but then that time more than now. And so he said, you have to be a plaster also. But for me, that profession was a horror, because he was working. He left the house 5 o'clock in the morning, worked till 4, then he went into the cafe, came home drunk the next day, so there was always drunk. In the Friday, completely drunk. Saturday, he went to the barber. He had no hair, but he had to cut his hair. And then he he played billiard in the cafe, drunk. Sunday, I was playing football then. Then he went with me to the stadium. I was playing in the Olympic Stadium. And not that I was so good, but this team was playing there. And so that was a life. It was not my life. It was a wall, you know. But when I was 14 years old, on my birthday, then the head of the school stood next to my stool, and he said, what are you doing here? I'm studying. So he's coming to my, because it's my birthday, he can't shake my hand, you know. What are you doing here? He said, I'm studying French, sir. Well, you're not on the school anymore. Did your father not tell you?
No.
Why? You have to empty your
drawer,
yeah. And you have to leave, because you are not anymore on this school. Can you mention 40 years old and think I will be an artist in the future, and then send away. Everybody, after the Second World War, all these classes were 50 children in one small class, you know, looking at me. What is this? What is this? Is he ill? Is it a thief? Is it Batman? Yeah. That was really a problem in the time for me. So then he wanted me to that I go to the bow, to the
construction.
Construction, yeah. But I didn't want. So and he said all that to me. You have to make money because you have to eat. I said vreten. You moet je vreten verdienen. You have to earn your own food. And I said, oh, this is so important, that food, then I became a chef. Well, then you don't have to make money, you eat, and then.
Right? Were you a good cook?
No, it's the same, it's also very difficult to be a cook, because you have to go to the schools, and you have to do all the schools also. And so I decide that I will collect this profession. Because first I thought I collect the advertising illustrator or designer, or I don't know the words. I don't know nothing. I've never been in a museum. I don't know nothing. And so I thought, but to be a chef, like, first you could be maybe a baker or a butcher or. And then I collect all these professions, and in the end, well, then you have to go to a school or to a restaurant, and then they learn me cooking, and then, so it was in my mind. So I started to be a butcher boy, because the butcher on the corner needs a boy to bring all the messages around, and then, I became a butcher boy.
But did you agree with him that you have to work in order to eat? Like, that's a sort of a very basic thing to say, but it is.
But I was 14 years old.
No, now, I mean, if you think back.
Of course, I hated it, because. Yeah. But what can you do? When you are 14, nowadays, the whole world is different. But in that time, you.
But would you say that now to, for example, you have a daughter,
yeah,
and would you say, you know, in essence, you have to work to eat, and that's it? Now you choose what you would like to do, but in essence, that.
Yeah, but that you can't say it anymore. No. We are in a completely different culture. There is so much money. There are people. I know people. They are 60. They never worked a moment. They get always money from the state and government. So it is not necessary anymore. Yeah. That you have to work and to eat, because you get the money from the state, you know? Not too much, but.
Yeah. And how do you feel about that then?
Is that get money from
the state?
I'm okay. But it's not. I make always my own money.
Yeah.
My whole life I was working for money. I never be a junk, and I had no time because I had to work, you know? So I made always my own money. Because that was put in when I was 14 years, you have to make money because you have to eat. So that's what I did my whole life.
So from how did it change? You were a butcher boy, and then?
Well, I was a butcher boy, so I was working in very good butcher shops, so that I learned the profession very well. And also later on in big butcher shops for the people, you know, this cheap meat, and I learned to make sausages. I learned a lot. But when I was 14 years old, I remember I have to go to the abattoir, the slaughterhouse. And then you have to kill all these cows. I was not the person who killed the cows, but the kills were standing in line. And you have the butcher, the men who are working for, buy two cows or one cow, and then I have to stand next to. That was what I have to learn. So I had a slough. I don't know the word for it.
Apron.
or something. And I was, we had wooden shoes, of course. There was a lot of noise and all this cars and stinking, they're shitting. And then I have to take him with his horns and I have to stand on a certain moment as a small boy. And then there's a man who shoot a pin in the head of the cow, so he died not immediately, but he stand a little bit. And then I had a knife, a long knife, and I have to cut his throat. And then the blood was spitting out of it, and I have to catch it on that, how do you call it?
Apron.
Apron, and that apron, so it's pulled, and it go into an...
into the gutter.
In the gutter. And then slowly the cow fell down. It was very strange in my...
How long did you do that?
I have been there maybe 10 or 12 times. But then I said, I don't go anymore. This is too much for me. This is not my...
I can imagine.
Yeah. But I have to cut out all these cows and so on. And then I was 16, and then I was 16, and then I know there was this article of my friend in the street, the Kunstnijverhaal.
Isn't that the predecessor to the Rietveld Academie?
Yeah. And there was an evening course, and I go there. Because there was no other school. There were schools, but advertising schools were very expensive to go there. You have now also this kind of school, the famous SSO school, you know. They are all famous. But I went then to the Kunstnijverheidsschool, the evening school. But I had only things made as a child, you know, drawings and these little cutouts and nothing. And they take me. Can you imagine that they take me? Because it was just children's stuff.
They must have seen something.
Yeah, or they thought, this is so special. Let's try it. So I went to the school, the evening school, but then I get the big problem because I had no education before. And so I never learned learning because the middle school is to learn how to learn. This is what society. And there was also not, and all these people, the students where I was with, the most of them were married, have been in military service. They had a job already. They know exactly where.
Were you the youngest then?
I was 16.
Yeah, and everybody else was much older.
21, 22, some were 18, 19, but most were. I served in the militaries, and in that time everybody had to go in the army, and they were married, had children, had jobs.
Yeah,
I don't know what it was, and then working the whole day in the butcher shop, making sausages or rookvlees, meat with the smoke in the smoke. Then you stink, of course, to the meat.
Is the butcher shop still here? Does it still exist?
No, there's some of them exist. I work with several shops.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, several shops. But then, so I was thinking to meat and smoke from the... And in that time, I was 16, so I lived with my parents. There was not a shower in the house. So one time a week, you go to the bathhouse. For 25 cents, you can take a shower. So one time a week, you get clean underwear.
Wow.
That time was normal. Everybody did. It was just very normal. But working, biking, you have all the, to bring all this messages around, and working, and it starts 7 o'clock in the morning. You stink, of course. Huh? So then the other students say, it stinks. I didn't smell anything at first. No, you didn't smell anything, but me. After 1 year, it was not possible to continue with this study. But at that time, my father But I thought they were, I told my father that was I went to the evening butcher school.
You okay. couldn't tell him that you
no,
went to
because that was. That was the enemy, art, and that was enemy. That was people who never worked, and then, you know, that was.
Yeah.
He liked me to be not clean, but not in that world. So I said I went to the evening butcher shop, the butcher school, and then he find out I was not on the butcher school. Oh no! I made a big mistake then. I went to the Stedelijk Museum, and there was an exhibition of Cobra. I went, well, this kind of work I can do. I was like all the other people. my little sister can do that also. And I, in that time, I was my little sister. So I went with a friend to the Stedelijk Museum with some paintings under my coat, and I hang them in between the paintings of Karl Appel, I don't know. And of course, the next day it was in the newspaper, and I was the artist with my friend, so we did it. And my father saw that it was in the newspaper with my photo, and then I have to make a choice to continue the butcher shop, the butcher education, or leaving the house. So then, in that time, I was, of course, a little bit Van Gogh already, so I stepped out of the house and to the difficult life in the future. And that's what I did. So I was 16 years old, and then I... Yeah, and also in this time, it's very easy that people lived on their own when they are 16 years old. And that time was, nobody did. You left the house when you were 21, 22, that was normal. Girls married when they were 18, boys married when they were 22, 23.
Yeah.
A girl from 22 who was not married was very hopeless.
Over the hill.
Over the hill, yeah.
After
that, the 60s comes up, and that destroyed all these ideas from before. But before that, it was all 30s, you could say. Because the Second World War take this 10 years, at least 10 years out of the development of the people. So then I decide to go to the day school.
Mm-hmm. So how did you support yourself?
Well, I was working.
Okay. You were still working then.
Working in the butcher shop on Friday and Saturday, Thursday night. Making, cleaning the cows and so on, Friday and Saturday, and it makes. And I was working for popular butcher shop, and they pay me very well. I could do the work they need. I was not a completely professional butcher in that time, but the things I have to do, I was good in it, and they need me. They need hands. You know, So I make my money, and later on I did a patatfrietkraam,
a stall?
A store where you can buy meatballs and fried potatoes and that, you know. So I always survived in things. Of course, there was also a period that I didn't make any money, because then I was so... but then... Well, I survived always. And then I went to the day, but that was not possible. And I figured out that pantomime was a nice form of art. So I was a pantomime player, and I went to a group, and they take me as a member of the group. There's very famous people later on, and. But I was so in the ik was over de kop geslagen in my, you know, I said pantomime, you have to sing with pantomime, and you have to make poetry with pantomime, and I did all the things that were not allowed with pantomime. Nobody, I did my own program, and I people were laughing at my, but it was it was not a real future for me. I was also too strong. All these boys were very slim, and I was training with the National Ballet because you have to train every day. But yeah, I was two times bigger than all these other boys. And I was always working, doing graphic design, posters, and I was learning myself this profession. And then at a certain moment,
You started doing jobs for people. You started doing. How do you start like working, if you don't have real education?
Yeah, I was making also cartoons. Cartoons were very popular in that period, so I published in several newspapers. And as a person, I was everywhere, and people know me, and they don't know exactly what I did, but they know me, and I eat here, and I eat there, and I sleep there. And, you know, I was floating, you could say. And at a certain moment, I know a lady, and she, it's a long story. She was in love with a man, and the man was living in England, and she had to bring him to Holland because they. And we started a cartoon studio together. It was a trick. I was the lokaas, weet je wel? What heet het?
The bait.
The bait, yeah. I was the bait. I don't know.
Oh, to make him jealous for him to come.
No. He was married and he lives in England. But she wants him here because he was in love. But he needs a reason to be in Holland.
Oh.
So, and I can draw and he can write text, so together we had a studio, and that was the reason.
So he would come here?
Yeah, he would come
here to see. Okay.
Is that the first time like a creative team was built?
Before I did the pantomime and cabaret sort of things.
But this, I mean, it's like in the advertising world, you have a copywriter and the art director.
Yeah, that's what I did. Yeah.
For different intentions.
Yeah.
Well, to.
With a complete hidden agenda.
And so she. But that didn't work out. And then she was a man, and he needs an assistant. He was a painter, but he did also graphic design. In that time, we had a lot of painters who did graphic design, because that is the beginning of graphic design, are all these painters in the Netherlands. So he didn't know so much about graphic design. I know a little bit more, not so much, but a little bit more. A little bit. So he took me as an assistant, and I make all kinds of things for him. And then there was another man, and he needs Jan van Toren needs an assistant, and some people connect me with him. I learned already a lot in the meantime, reading, because I thought nobody would learn to me, so I have to learn it by myself. talking about friends, drawing, painting, making. I did everything around this profession, and then Jan van Toren took me as an assistant. No, I worked my ass off, you could say, in the year, because this is my big chance. He knows exactly what it is all about, and he hated me in the end, because he had a very small house, and on the attic he had a little studio, and next to the studio was his sleeping room, and he had two children. But I was working day and night in that time. So 3 o'clock in the night, I was sitting there, and then he was sleeping, and then he saw a light burning under the door. I was like, "Are you working?" "Yeah, we have to finish this tomorrow." And then he felt guilty, so he was sitting also in his pajamas, and actually also working.
He felt forced to also start working.
After a year, go on.
Go, because I need some sleep.
Go, I need some sleep. So, and then I'm leaving with a very nice client of him. He gave me a client as a present. Jumbo Games, Jumbo Children Games. Well, and then it goes on and on. But that was the start was very difficult because when you know nobody in a profession, and you have not the slightest idea what kind of culture you are in, then it's very difficult to find a door open, and because nobody trusts you, and what is this? We don't need him. And then at that time, graphic design was very chic kind of profession, where not so many designers, and they were all gender, they were all Wim Kraul type of persons, you know, tie and jackets and hair.
Yeah.
That kind of people. So it was very difficult for me to get in. But I did, I did all these Fluxus performances. And Jan van Toorn was very interested in that. Because, you know, I was in all kind of... And the thing is that when you don't know, you have not an education, no background, everybody who looks artistic, you believe in. So you have to find out all these different rooms where all these people are in.
Yeah, but it's also a bit nicer because you don't have a preconception of things. Yeah. You know, you just do it and not have luggage.
Looking in, for example, magazines as Grafis, that kind of magazines, I learned of very quick that it was there was a difference between low design and high, in my opinion. So I know all the names of the famous people in the world because I have in a discussion I have to show that I was not from the street. I know something about graphic design. You know, so I was teaching myself about this kind of. I can't read English. I can't read French.